Touchdown Tampa Bay. You're listening to the PewterCast.
Welcome to the PewterCast Live 2020 post-draft edition. This will be a call-in show for everyone who is joining us live at YouTube.com. And those who are joining us later on the podcast feed, welcome to you guys as well, too. My name is Brent Allen. I will be your host tonight, joined, as always, by my good friend, Ren. Do you have any blue cheese daxed? What's going on, Ren?
That's what you got. You've been working on that for like 4 days. That's what you got. You got any blue cheese dax?
Well, yeah, you got to put something on that crow you got to eat here today, buddy.
Try to wash it down. I got it. It's a joke. We will be talking about safeties when we get to the pick. Uh-huh. So needless to say that Jason Light and BA have made a massive mistake. Uh-huh. And is going to sink the franchise for generations.
What makes you feel worse about it? Like the fact that you know they listened to us and so they heard what you had to say and they just ignored it all the way around? Or just the actual fact that they took a safety?
I am Jack's deep feel of betrayal. No, I mean, it's fine. And we'll get there. We'll get there. And I still have my reasons why I don't think they should have took a safety, but they did take the right type of safety. You know, I don't think this was a draft to take any safety. Well, like I said, we'll get all through that. Yeah. But yes, spoiler alert, Ren was very vocal about the Bucks not even taking a safety and they took him with their second pick.
Yes. And I want to talk about that, but I also want to talk about your reaction live when it happened, because you were not alone. You had a little chat going on. I know our friend Corey, a couple other people were in that chat as well. So I want to hear about all that, but we will do that. I want to say hello to everybody who is joining us live. We will open the phone lines here in just a few minutes, but Ren, before we get there, I wish I had some sort of like animation or GIF or maybe even just a placard that I could throw up there. But we are celebrating a little bit tonight because
this is
not only just a 2020 post-draft call-in show. This is actually the PewterCast's birthday. This would be our, I said earlier it was the fifth anniversary. That's not right. This is our fourth anniversary. We are starting our fifth year. 4 years ago now, this show launched episode one. It was a post-draft show. So the post-draft shows are the anniversary shows. It was a post-draft show. Episode one called The Phantom Draft Pick, because that year the draft was really late and that episode came out like on May 4th. So, you know, May the 4th be with you, Star Wars Day, ha ha ha. Just trying to be real cute. But anyway.
Remember when we used to, like, after we record, we'd spend like 10, 15 minutes sometimes trying to think up of a pun or a catchy name for the episode.
Witty name. Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous the amount of time that we spent trying to come up with a name for an episode.
Right. That's come to a halt.
Yes. Now it's just that's the episode. What's it about? That's the name right there. So, and you know what? Our post podcasting time is way better for it. So, but anyway, so thanks to everybody. Listen, Ren, a couple of things that I want to talk about here over 4 years. We are now, this is our 383rd episode of the PewterCast.
All right.
We will hit 400 episodes this summer sometime over
That's
the summer.
A lot.
That's a lot of episodes of the PewterCast.
Got a lot of episodes of me and you staring at each other.
Right. Sometimes the folks out there can see us staring at each other. Sometimes they can hear us staring at each other. But we 400, we have been, I didn't count, but we've been broadcasting countries all over the world. The PewterCast awards have grown every single year. Sometimes doubling and tripling. Our interaction with our fans has just gotten bigger and bigger. You guys are awesome. We meet new fans, it seems like, every show now. We get people calling in from all over the world. And Ren, to top that off, just in these last couple of weeks, the PewterCast has passed over 500,000 downloads. That's 500,000 downloads for a podcast, man.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. Yeah.
That's a lot for two schlubs in their garage.
Right.
You know,
right. I'm above my garage. I'm not in it, but I am above it. Yeah.
We don't have a garage.
So yeah, guys, but anyway, I want to take a moment just to say thanks to everybody who has joined us along the way through, let's be honest, some really difficult years over these last after these last bunch of years.
Golden age of Buccaneers football.
Yeah, I remember when you used to say that every episode. So anyway, like I said, thanks to everybody, those of you guys listening out there, those of you guys that are joining us live, you guys make this all worth it. And it's just been a ton of fun. We've gotten some new friends. I mean, honestly, you know, Ren is probably the person that the single person I talk to the most outside of my wife. And sometimes I'm not sure if I talk to her more than I do you, especially in season. So,
definitely in season.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you guys are awesome. People are talking to me over in the chat room. Sorry, so I'm not trying to do that. But anyway, we got a good show on deck, Ren, for tonight. Well, as you said, this is our 2020 post-draft call-in show. So we'll be talking about the draft. We'll be going through all the different picks and the moves that were made. And Ren, you've got a little bit on some of the undrafted free agents that have come out. We're going to talk about those guys as well. And we'll open up the phone lines for people to call in and give their thoughts and their opinions on what's been happening. Here's what I'm going to ask the people out there who are calling in to do tonight, though. I'm going to ask you guys to sort of stay on track with what Ren and I are talking about. Typically, we're just like, call in, talk about whatever you want, interrupt us, and we'll go whichever direction that happens. But we're gonna go through the draft, pick one all the way to pick seven. So if you got something on pick one, please call in kind of while we're talking about that. And then if you got something about pick two, pick four, you know, call us in, call in as we go through that. And I'm going to keep that loose. I'm not making that super strict, but just in general, try to do that. But Ren, before we do open up the phone lines, I'll give you a shot. What am I talking about? I'll give you a chance to talk before everybody else calls in. Kind of your opening thoughts on the draft this year, sort of overall.
Well, I mean, besides the second round going horribly wrong.
Right.
No, I've said this a few times. I said it when I was on, you know, doing a live stream during the draft in the first round. I said it to, you know, like the intimate group of fans, we had on for the second round, and that was fun. But, when Wills went off the board and it was like Becton and worse, like I was setting my mind on Becton. I was getting excited about it. I'm like, oh, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. And then it didn't.
Right.
And then we get worse. And for some reason, I was like disappointed, which is crazy because 24 hours ago, if you would have told me we got Christian Wirfs.
Right. Right.
I would have been like, oh, good. They did what they had to do. And I pretty much had made up my mind that, you know, even though I said one's going to fall. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that one would have fallen.
Right.
Like, I don't think the 49ers would have went back with Miami, would have went back with, you know, Minnesota or whoever was trying to get up and get that guard to go back, because I think they really like Kinlaw.
Okay.
But, you know, I think they would have stayed there and taken Kinlaw and we would have got worse. But that's another here and there. So they only go up one spot. So what I've said, it feels like, you know I got a half gallon of Neapolitan ice cream in the freezer, you know, but I know it's been opened. So as I'm walking over to the freezer and grabbing my bowl and my spoon, I'm going, man, I really want some strawberry, but I'll be okay if there's chocolate. And I open it up. And the only thing left is vanilla. Now it's ice cream, and vanilla ice cream is delicious.
It is. Yeah.
But I had my heart set on strawberry and then, I'll take chocolate.
Right.
And I think it's what happened with worse. So after sleeping on it and, you know, this time around, I think it's a great pick. The reason I wanted worse as my fourth, I guess I could say, is he's a little short for a tackle. Mm-hmm. His arms are a little short for a tackle. But that's really just basically about it.
Right.
You know, he makes up for an athleticism like Wills and Wilson, or excuse me, and Thomas and Becton all were crazy athletic at the combine. Worse out athletic to them. He out-athleted him.
You want to try it again?
He was better. I did that on purpose because I still don't know the word. He was better than all of them and all the things across the board. But then you kind of look at him and he just looks like a big dude. Like there's no, like, it's hard to look at him and say you think he's 300 pounds plus, you know? So I'm like, well, is he going to be strong enough? Well, you know, in draft night, they showed that I don't know a lot about weightlifting, almost nothing, but I can tell which sort of exercise is upper body strength against lower body strength or the whole body. But he holds an Iowa record, which if you know about Iowa's, you know, offensive linemen and sort of their weight program, holding any kind of lifting record at the University of Iowa is a big deal. And it's an upper body record. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's an upper body strength record. So he's got it there. Then you go, what about the legs? Because you see him and he's fit. He's very fit. Like he seems to be like he's rock hard, kind of almost like Aaron Donald type as far as body type. So you're like, well, what about his bottom half? Well, then you see the video of him jumping out of a pool. Like that has nothing to do with upper body whatsoever. So, you know, we're okay there. So even though I would have liked to have not given up the fourth, mm-hmm. going into the draft, I wanted one of those fours. And if they had to trade to go get it, mm-hmm. I was even saying I'd be okay with the three. They can't have to keep the two back. Mm-hmm. But if they gave up a three, to have to go up. Mm-hmm. And what it was they only went up one spot. And that's why people are mad. Yeah. And they gave up for just the one spot. And if they had to go up two spots and gave up the fourth, everyone would have been okay.
You know, I got to tell you, Ren, I was mad for about 30 seconds.
Let's talk about that.
Well, I'll tell you what, while you got your
for
blue cheese,
rest of the show.
I'm good with ranch. So I'm going to grab some ranch for my crow over here. Listen, they traded up. And before I thought about anything, I shot off on Twitter. I was like, why the hell are they trading up? Because I was already talking with a couple of friends of mine who are 49ers fans. Like we got like a little group chat, and just friends from another thing. And they all are 49ers. I'm a Bucks fan. And I was talking to them. And I asked them, I was like, were you guys even looking at a tackle? And they went, no. And I was like, why the hell did we do that one pick just to go down and they weren't doing anything? And I hit send.
Oh, let me tell you, would you like to know why, Brent?
Well, I've now already figured it out. At this point, I figured it out. And then they've just said so on TV what's going on. But that tweet blew the freak up. I mean, it was like 20 responses in 45 seconds. Yeah. And I was like, I got it, guys. I got it. People were still responding to that tweet, Ren, over 16 hours later.
Well, that's what happened. You say something dumb on Twitter, Brent.
So anyway, yeah, that was pretty much the rest of my night after the first round. you talk about his strength, and I mean, okay, first of all, the video of him doing a dead jump out of a swimming pool. I didn't know that was humanly possible either. I tried it in my pool and I'm sure he was in the shallow end.
And also someone said in the chat, which is also true, like if you know anything about the state of Iowa, is they wrestle. Like they're huge wrestling state. I was always a huge powerhouse in collegiate wrestling, mm-hmm. and he won his weight class in high school, state title. So, I mean, you know, he's an athlete. So,
yeah,
of his height and his short arms, he's just going to be a guy who is just better than everybody else. No one's going to be able to get around the edge because he's fast enough, you know, mm-hmm. and he's got the power to be able to be bull rushed, and he's got the lateral quickness to get the inside. So, yes, he's not ideal height. Yes, his arms aren't ideal length. But he's still going to be, you know, a guy. Basically, we just got Dotson and then just upgraded him, like not a 2.0. He's like a 3.0.
Right, right. So I have a question, but before I do that, anybody who wants to call in, guys, phone line is open. Talking about Tristan Wirtz, our first round draft pick where we traded out of the fourth round altogether. And you guys call in, give us your thoughts on our first round draft pick, 864-729-BUCKS. That's 864-729-2827. Or you can join us right here in the video feed. We've dropped that link over in the chat room for those of you guys who are joining us there. Ren, one of the things that has me about this guy is the talking heads, the national talking heads that don't know anything mm-hmm. that they're talking about. And I've heard a few other people say this. Do what?
I mean,
I shouldn't say anything. Yeah. They know some things. But I've heard from more than one source saying that they drafted Tristan Wirfs to play left tackle and Donovan Smith is moving over to right tackle. I also know that one of the two, BA or Jason, I don't remember which one, has said he's going to start at right tackle. Obviously, we're going to go with our guys here, but, you know, I'll toss that out for a discussion about the idea that is this a guy who could step in and play left tackle, we really think, or is he really a right tackle and that's what we've just drafted?
Well, here's the other thing that's, you know, that you like and maybe also don't like about Wirfs is that, you know, he did play right right tackle in college. He moved over to the left tackle when I think their left tackle got hurt, and he moved over at one point last year and he was fine. Uh-huh. But, you know, but that's kind of what everyone says. He did fine. He was fine. You know, it wasn't like he was just dominant player. But, you know, if can he play left tackle in a pinch? I'm sure he can. Is he better at right tackle? I'm sure he is. But then even if he fails at right tackle, uh-huh. you could move him to guard. And so he's got basically, uh-huh. he's got three positions on the offensive line he has to fail at before he's out of the league. So I guess him making
and he'll probably try center before he does that too.
But you know, so him panning out quote unquote as a draft pick, uh-huh. you know, the ceiling's sky high because he's got, you know, people really think like he's an all pro guard.
Really?
Yeah. But weird. That's just because of his height and arm length. And like just put him yeah. inside and he's like, he's, you know, he's an ant, you know, I'm not going to say he's Anthony Nelson, but, or Quentin Nelson, but he's a Quentin Nelson type. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. He would, if he was a guard, he would have been, he would have been the first interior offensive lineman drafted bar none. And he would have went in the first round. I don't even know if any interior offensive lineman went in the first round. Uh-huh. Oh wait, Cesar Ruiz, who's a center.
Okay.
But they're going to move him to guard.
Fair enough.
In New Orleans.
So, but what do you think? I mean, do you, let me ask now, is yeah. this a guy that you're really, that we're looking to replace Donovan Smith, or is he Dotson's replacement and you think we continue to roll with, and I'm asking more your opinion of what you think we should do
sure.
with the amount of information you have right before you right now in this moment.
Yeah. Being the big Iowa Hawkeye fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this has been said about all of them, about Wilkes and Wilson or Thomas. I always want to call him Wilson mm-hmm. and Thomas and Becton. It's like, well, you know, to stick him at right tackle the first year, right. and if Donovan Smith doesn't sort of project out to what you feel he should be,
right.
he has 1 year left on his contract, no dead money. You can either kick him over to right and kick them over to left, or mm-hmm. cut Donovan Smith altogether and go get a right tackle, or go get a left tackle. So mm-hmm. I think it's the same thing with all of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, like you said, like he's starting at right tackle. If he's good enough to start day one on the offensive line, it will be at right tackle. Right. And I don't see him moving at all. Donovan would have to get injured
right.
for him to flip sides, and I'm not even sure that they'd do that then.
Right. Because here's the other thing, because I know you mentioned him moving and, you know, possibly playing guard, right?
Yeah.
Like, he would have to be, let's say he's an upgrade, just assume he's an upgrade over Alex Kappa.
Yes.
Okay, let's just assume that. He would have to be more of an upgrade over Alex Kappa with whomever is now going to play right tackle than yeah. it is to have him at right tackle and leave Alex Kappa there at guard. Because Alex Kappa had a decent year last year. I don't know that it was phenomenal. I wouldn't say it was great, but he had a decent year. He wasn't horrible. He wasn't the worst right guard we've ever had before in this league.
He wasn't the worst player on the offensive line.
Right. So, you know, I'm okay hanging out with Alex Kappa, and hell, I'm interested to see what he does. Is this his third year going into this year, next year?
Yep.
I think.
Yep.
Yes. Third
yep.
year.
Yep.
You know, another year of experience and see what happens with him. But I'm with you. I would fully expect to see Tristan Wirfs right tackle. Donovan Smith is going to continue to play left tackle as they have contracted with him to do and all that kind of stuff. But also, unless Tristan Wirfs just really comes in and just beats out Donovan Smith and you know, I don't
want
to
call him. Have to beat out Donovan Smith. He's playing right tackle.
Exactly.
He has to beat out Haig. That's it. End of story.
And he will. Yeah, there you go. There you go. So anyway, so Tristan Wirfs, we traded out of the fourth round. Now, one more thing before we move on from that.
Sure.
Before a lot of stuff happened draft week, we had 2 fourth-round draft picks, mm-hmm. traded one of them for Gronk, and mm-hmm. then traded out. So what was your thought? What was your reaction heading into this with the realization, like, we are out of the fourth altogether? Did you think we were going to try to trade back up into the fourth, or were you just like, yeah, we'll just sit out the entire fourth round, because that's ultimately what we wound up doing?
Right. I thought that, and we'll get into this a little later, but mm-hmm. you know, each losing both of those fourths, we also got a seventh back.
Right.
And we didn't have a seventh to start. So we had 2 sevenths. So I'm not familiar enough with the draft chart, even though it's not be all end all, but you know, mm-hmm. each sort of draft pick has a number. I don't know if 2 sevenths can add up to a fourth.
Right.
Or maybe a seventh and the sixth, 1 seventh and 1 sixth, and you can move up to the fourth. I wouldn't put it past Jason Light, but mm-hmm. you know, at that point I was thinking, okay, we have to get a running back. And honestly, I was thinking like safety's off the board now. Mm-hmm. Like, and I was thinking running back two, and then I want a defensive line, interior defense line in three. That's what I was thinking. And then at the fourth round, we'll just, you know, if by that time we're started, once we hit the fifth round, I started not to recognize the players. Like I didn't know who these guys were. So in the fourth round, I don't have these guys ranked, you know, sort of in my head. I just, oh, I know that guy. This is what he can do. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know that guy. You know, this is, I know he's good at this. So I don't know what the draft board at, you know, their draft, the Bucks draft board looks like. Mm-hmm. So I really couldn't say that, oh, I know that there's a guy that's going to go in the fourth round that I think the Bucks really like, that they're going to package things, to, you know, package deals to go up. Because after the third round, it was kind of like, I don't know who's going off the board when. This is when you sort of start to, this is your last ditch effort, the fourth round, to fill starter needs for teams that need starters.
There you go. Before we move off of this, we have a question over in the chat. G Vegas says, is there a possibility that Wirfs goes to guard and Haig is the right tackle because of Kappa regressing?
Sure. There's also a possibility that Tom Brady, you know, breaks both his ankles and plays in prosthetics legs. Like, yeah, I mean, but the plan is, I mean, could this happen? Could that happen? Yes. Here's the plan. Day one, week one, Wirfs, Kappa, Jensen, Allie, Donovan. That's the plan. Can it change? Absolutely.
Right. There you go.
Maybe you're asking, is Haig good enough? Is the gap between Haig and Wirfs smaller than the gap between Wirfs and Kappa? Right. I guess that's what you're asking. I don't know.
That's a little bit of what I think what I was saying a little bit earlier.
Right.
Like
right.
The upgrade from Kappa to Wirfs would have to be greater than the whatever that gap
then,
is between Wirfs and
the
other
guy. But then you have to factor in position, like position worth.
Fair.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like is even though like the gap between Wirfs and Haig is smaller than the gap between Kappa and Wirfs, is it worth it to take the better player out of a more important position just so, and you forget Haig plays interior offensive line. That's always such a great grab for him. Haig could be pushing Kappa for the starting spot.
Right.
So it could be worse. Right. Haig, Jensen, Allie, Donovan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The end.
It could be. It very well could be. And that's, and we'll get, well, I'm sure we'll get into this more through training camp and stuff, but that gives Haig really the upper leg, I think, on the what would it be, like the sixth or seventh draft?
He's a sixth. He'll draft every week as long as he's healthy. If he's not starting, he'll be the first guy off the bench. That's why they got him. It was a great free agent signing. Yeah. Cost them nothing. They got a guy that can play three positions, and in a pinch can play four positions. He can play left tackle in a pinch.
Right. And thank you for picking up on what I was trying to say there. I appreciate that. Hey, listen, guys, phone line is open. We're moving off of Tristan Wirfs heading into the second round, but phone line is open. 864-729-BUCKS.
You told him not to call unless they were wanted to talk about the person we were talking about. So we should move on down the line.
And that's what we're doing. We're moving right now because somebody in the chat, FSU guy 321, asks this question, Ren, as we move into talking about our second round. Can Winfield play offensive tackle as well as safety? I hear. All right, Ren, we come down to the second round. The Bucks have got Tristan Wirfs. It's day two. We're, you know what, 13, 14 picks into the second round, and they come right up on it. You're talking to a bunch of friends over in a private little chat, and it comes across the screen, or at some point, Antoine Winfield, safety, go.
Junior. Well, it was even worse than that because I was in there. You mentioned Corey Play Reaction. People most know him on Twitter.
Yeah.
He was on Twitter and he saw it. So instead of just keeping it to himself, he goes, oh, I saw the pick. Do you want to know? And of course I was like, no, I don't want to know. I want to wait. I'm like, unless it's a safety, tell me now. And he goes, do you want me to tell you now? And I'm like, is it a safety? And I'm like, am I going to be happy? And he goes, you're not going to be happy, or you might be happy. Okay. So this is probably a good 5 minutes out.
Right.
So I had to sweat 5 minutes of this coming. And by the time the pick was coming up, it was like the Bucks select. In my heart of hearts, I knew it was a safety, and I knew I was screwed. And I already told him, as soon as I see safety, I'm going to run outside and smoke a cigarette. And that's exactly what I did. It's like, it's like the pick is Antoine. I was like,
I'm out. Right.
I'm out. So I came back and I talked a little bit about it. You know, I kind of laid down. I made noises like, oh, no, no, oh, no. And then I'm like, OK, I got to open Twitter. I got to open it. And I had over 20 mentions.
I love it. I love
on
it.
On my Twitter feed.
I love I guess it. Ren, we've got a caller. We've got a caller, so I want to bring this guy in.
I'm telling a story.
Well, that's all right. I'm going to cut you off. You're on the line with Brent and Ren, right in the middle of Ren's story. Who do we have here tonight?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Jonathan.
What's up, Jonathan?
Hey, Jonathan.
Not much, man. Calling to talk some draft with you guys. And a nice hot take on guys that wouldn't even know what they're going to do. But, you know, I'm supposed to right now, right?
There you go.
What do you got, man?
Yeah, man. So, like, just the second round pick, I do think eventually this will be defined by, you know, us passing on J.K. Dobbins and electing to address later in the third round. But ultimately, you know, I do think it was the right call because the way I look at this is like we had the choice between getting J.K. Dobbins or completing our secondary and banking on Rojo taking the next step. So the way I see it is like after years of having this like old school small corner zone secondary, we finally have a secondary that can keep up with new offenses that's built with like, you know, bigger corners and a true ball hawking safety. And I don't think that the guy out of Vanderbilt, Keyshawn or Keyshawn Levan or whatever his name is going to be as good as J.K. Dobbins. No way. But I do think that he can combine with Rojo to make an effective backfield.
Yeah, I'm with you. And this is something that I'll get into too when I talk about the safety position. It had to be that safety. And what I mean by that is a guy that who is adept at being both. He can go down in the box. He's just not like, he's not Whitehead where he's really good at going down in the box, but not really good at playing, you know, single high sideline to sideline stuff. Like our best guy who can do that is Justin Evans, who hasn't hit the field in a year, like a year and a half. They tried with Edwards. He hasn't worked out yet, but you know, fans seem to be throwing dirt on him. And that was one of my points. I was like, you gotta let him try. Cause Edwards is supposed to be that versatile guy.
Yeah.
So Edwards is supposed to be the versatile guy. Now I've seen people that think that Winfield was, you know, the best safety in the class. So if you're in the second round and you can upgrade that position with the best player that you feel is in the class, I get it. You know, they talked about how the run of safety has started. I know Duggar went and Delpa went right before him. I'm assuming McKinney was gone. So I guess he was the fifth safety off. So I understand it, but, and they had to do it then because my argument has always been, if you're going, you know, tackle first round, running back second round, and then I would rather have edge, corner, or interior defensive line depth in the third than try to find a safety in the third that's going to be better than any of the five guys we already have. Mm-hmm. And then if you wait till day three to get a safety, then it's definitely like, why are you drafting a safety? You've got five guys that are just as good as that guy. Mm-hmm. So for me to even get behind the pick at all, it had to be a high pick. I didn't see it coming, but I think they got the right guy. The only thing that worries me is you talked about, he's not a big guy, but he seems to be a playmaker. He's a ball hawk. I heard a stat where he was thrown at 22 times last year, 11 receptions, 7 INTs. So he only allowed what, 4 more receptions than he did INTs. Like that's an exciting stat. So he has football blood. He has coach's son, you know, he's not a coach's son, but his dad was a football player. But then, you know, the naysayers, well, Vernon Hargreaves is the coach's son, you know, and look what happened to him. And he's the same size. So I'm behind the pick. He's a buck. I like it. It's just not the direction I would have went. If I was the GM, which I'm not, and not that I know better because I don't know crap. But, you know, if Dobbins and Akers are sitting there for me, then I would have done that and just rolled another year with the safeties that I had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, for sure. I agree. Like, how do you feel about Rojo at this point? Like, do you think he can, like, take the next app and be, like, 1,000 yard back and hopefully we get, like, you know, 600, 700 yards out of Keyshawn?
Well, something you mentioned and also want to talk about, I will not also be, if Keyshawn falls on his face and Akers and Dobbins go off, or even if Akers and Dobbins go off more than Keyshawn, I am never going to go, see, you shouldn't have done that. You should have taken one of those guys and now you don't know how to draft running backs, blah, blah, blah. It's a little scary about getting that guy in the running back. So, but I don't think, like you said, his Vaughn success is going to define Winfield as a draft pick. I think that's unfair. Is it going to in Buccaneer fandom? Yes, it is. The only way to totally get rid of that is that both of them do very well. Now, answer your question. Mm-hmm. Rojo, I think is just good. I think he's going to improve. I think like sort of the last four games of the season were really exciting. What you saw coming out of him. Yeah, he was breaking a lot of tackles. It seemed that he got it. His decision making once he got the ball seemed to be quicker, you know, instead of kind of like the Charleston with all the chop steps, like, where do I go? Oh my God, where's my huge hole I had in college? Don't know what to do. And then once he did get the second level, he became a guy that made you tackle him, which not a lot of running backs did, you know, like Dare and Peyton would put their head down, and basically if you got out of their way, they were going to fall on their face. Like, you know, all you do is touch them. They would have, right. You know, like, yeah. They're going for the extra yards, but you really didn't have to tackle them. Mm-hmm. They were just going to fall down. But Rojo was a guy that kept his balance, had good contact balance those last four games, used some spin moves in the open, use a dead leg to get to the edge. He really put some nice games together, and it's exciting. So now it's worse there. And, you know, sorry, Dot, with Dot not there, we'll be able to run the ball. You know, like, you couldn't run it behind Dot because he wasn't going to, like, he couldn't move. And you can't run it away from Dot because he can't move and the guy's going to catch the guy on the backside. Like, I think this running game is vastly going to improve. And honestly, it's not so much worse as there, which will help and be an extra plus. But I think the big plus is that Dot's not there.
Let me ask you guys this. I want to throw this out. And this is for both of you guys. Do you think Rojo is ever going to be a top tier running back in this league, though?
Like, what does that mean?
I mean,
1,000-yard rusher is probably too low. Maybe getting up towards around the 1,300 yards. Mm-hmm. You know, the guy that you see on the highlight reels or you hear about.
You're saying like in the conversation of a top five back,
maybe even top 10, too? Maybe let's even, I mean, like, is he
top 10? Yeah.
You think top 10?
I don't feel top 10 is tier one.
Okay.
Fair. Yeah. I can see him as like that, like 10th and 9th ranked runner. And I think that would be enough. That's why I think I'm okay with us passing up on like Dobbins. I don't know if we passed up on Akers. I forget, but I'm okay with us passing up.
We did
on. Oh yeah. I'm okay with us passing up both those guys because I do think that Akers and Dobbins are much, much better than Kayshon. But I think the combination of Rojo and Kayshon can be really effective. And just last thing, I know you guys got people online, but a really similar scouting report and body type and combine numbers to Kayshon is actually Chris Carson. So that's who he really reminds me of. And so I think that's really like his ceiling is just an effective, straightforward runner. And if you read scouting reports about Chris Carson, they're very similar. So well built, good explosion, but so I'll get off the line because you guys got Merkle coming up. But overall, I thought it was a great draft. I'm excited and really cautiously looking forward to this season because knowing our luck, it's probably going to get canceled because Corona, right?
We're not talking that or speaking that into existence. We will play football this year, Jonathan. Jonathan, yeah, thank you so much for your call. We'll talk to you on a future show. Yeah. All right, buddy. All right.
Thanks, Jonathan. Bye.
Hey guys, phone line's open. You all want to call in 864-729-BUCKS. That's 864-729-2827. One more thing, Ren, I got a question. Is J.K. Dobbins, maybe even Cam Akers, are they going to become this year's Dalvin Cook who didn't play at FSU?
Well, you know, that's kind of what I was telling the caller. I'm so terrible at names. What was
Jonathan?
His name?
That was Jonathan.
Thank you.
I write them down. I know.
And after every show, I go, I should write those down. And then I have the book. I've got step one.
Right.
So
next week, you
know, that's kind of what Jonathan talked about. And I sort of said, you know, if they both don't have to go off, just one of them. And it's like, see, cause that's what we do. And I'm just not going to pay attention to it. I'm not going to even react to it on Twitter. Mm-hmm. You know, and if we, I just want to finish up my story with, so again, my answer is yes,
right.
But do I care? I don't, you know, they're both going to have to go off for Buck fans to not complain about not getting Dobbins and or Akers, especially Akers, because he did go to FSU. So I come back and open my Twitter. And by that time, the person who I've gone back and forth with the most has been Tampa Bay Buck fans for life.
Yeah.
Chris
from BA.
Alaska.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Virginia. He had tweeted at me. Mm-hmm. He had sent me a DM through Twitter and he had texted me just to make sure I knew that the
Bucks took a safety. Just to make sure that he got you right.
Make sure I knew the Bucks took a safety.
Right. By the way, he and I texted a little bit too, just so you know.
I'm sure. There was. I mean, you know, I it's funny. We were talking off air, like after the last show. And it's like sometimes I'll be wrong on purpose just to let people people sort of get at me a little bit, because when I'm, because if I wait too long and I am wrong, I get this massive blowback. That's, you know, and that's what happened. It was just like, everyone was just waiting, waiting and waiting. You know, it's like when I just wait for Gerald McCoy to screw up so I can go, see, I told you. So, but you know, it was, but everyone was right. I was wrong. You know, I like the pick, you know, having some of that versatility, but here's something to think about early. Like, Jordan Whitehead's days might be numbered, because if they
that's only go crazy four, because we've loved Jordan Whitehead the last bunch of years.
The most consistent safety they have might be off.
But I think this is his fourth year, right? Like, this is the final year on his rookie deal coming up.
Is it his second, third?
Is it his third? It's his third or fourth. He's getting late into his rookie contract.
It's his third, because he was drafted with Carlton Davis.
Okay,
so this will be his third.
All right. Hey, Ren, we got a phone call. Let's see who we have on the line here. You're calling in with Brent and Ren on the PewterCast. Who do we have here?
Trying to tell my embarrassing story so I can get it over with.
Oh, we're gonna drag this one out. Who do we got here on the line with us tonight?
Do you know Brent tweeted about Kristen Wurst not being worth a fourth round pick?
Hello. Oh, wait a minute. I got it. There we are. Now you're in the show. Who do we got here tonight?
John Relios from Newport Richie.
There he is. John Relios, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. I think Antoine Winfield, I do like the guy. A lot of people said that he essentially could be the honey badger. Like, he does everything well. The only bad thing about it is maybe a little bit injury concerns and then his undersize. But a lot of people say he reminds a lot of people like the honey badger. And if anybody can develop safety, it's, you know, Todd Bowles. You know, he developed, you know, Jamal Adams, you know, and also Tyrann Mathieu, I think, when he was in Carolina, I think they were in Arizona, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, look what he did last year with three brand new rookies coming out with the draft as well. You know, they turned out not too bad after about 8 games.
If anybody can develop a guy like that who has a lot of high upside into a Tyrann Mathieu type player, I think Todd Bowles is the guy to do it. And it really, with us not picking a running back, it really does so. That they weren't, I think the reason why they didn't want to draft a guy like J.K. Dobbins, because they wanted to get a guy who was a pass catching running back who can block well. And J.K. Dobbins didn't fit the bill. You know, he wasn't good at pass blocking, and his pass catching was all right. And that's why we wanted to find a complement to Rojo. Right? That's what we were trying to do. And a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire would have been good, but he was gone by the Chiefs, which was a surprise because he was supposed to be the first running back taken. You know, but then I think they liked DeAndre Swift and Jonathan Taylor, but they were already picked by then. So it's like, at that point, they like the safety, and they did meet with him too. They had like a virtual meeting with him before the draft and stuff. So, you know, I remember reading about that. So I was like, oh, makes sense why they pick him. You know, it made sense why, you know, they were pick him, because I heard that they met with him.
Yeah. You know, the only thing that really surprised me through this whole process was afterwards, where Jason Light said, and I guess, I don't know if he said it in the after the day two press conference or the final wrap up press conference, was he's like, yeah, safety, that was a position we were looking to draft. That shocked me. You know, it really did, because what that really tells me is that, you know, even though he just said that he likes the safety group, that means you don't like the safety group. It's kind of what happened last year. You know, it's like they like Whitehead, but he's not interchangeable enough. They like Justin Evans, but you don't know if he's ever going to even play again. They like Edwards. Okay. But, you know, who's going to play the other side?
Right.
It's, you know, Dixon, undrafted free agent. And yeah. Adams, who does both of those things just okay, and you'd like to upgrade. So I guess it, what shocked me was that they were looking to put. So, like I said, it tells me that they're looking for a more versatile safety. This is going to be the highest draft pick that the Bulls era obviously has done at that position, and we'll see. But, you know, talking about why I think Whitehead's going to get pushed out, because I think Edwards, no matter what he does, is going to get another year. You know, not Whitehead. Oh gosh, I already forgot his name.
Dixon.
Winfield. He might be, for what they're looking for, he might be the best safety already in the room. Okay. Then you've got Justin Evans. If he comes back healthy, that pushes Whitehead down another notch, because he can't play, you know, up in the box and back as well as Justin Evans. And then you got Dixon. So if he can't beat out Dixon, we don't know what he is, who Bruce Arians was saying, you know, this guy was going to start for us. Could be a little bit of bull crap, but he said it enough where he's turning heads. if you don't carry five safeties, then, you know, Whitehead's out. And it's not that he's not a good safety, but he just can't do both. And in a Todd Bowles defense, you have to be able to play both.
Yeah, you know, that's why. And yeah, and that's why we probably didn't. That's why the same, you can say the same thing about a guy like J.K. Dobbins, that Bruce Arians likes the type of running backs who can pass block and can catch. And, you know, he wasn't proven in pass catching, but at the same time, he was bad at pass blocking. You say the same thing. Cam Akers, I did like, but maybe they didn't like him as much as they liked Antoine Winfield, I think.
Right. And here's the thing about, you know, Keyshawn Vaughn is this was just like Justin Evans, I've said back when they had to take him the sixth round or the second round, excuse me, because he was a seventh safety taken off the board and they really wanted a safety and they sort of had to get that guy there. Mm-hmm. It didn't matter who it was. Like, okay, we have to take a safety here. I think that's what happened with them at running back at three, was they didn't want to wait till round five to get a running back. You know, all the guys that everyone had as a top five were all gone. So yes, was it a reach at three? Yeah. Would it have been at four? No, it would have been they would have thought it was a steal at five, but since I think no other running back was taken off the board. Oh no. The other guy that I wanted, of course, Gibson went the very first pick, round three.
Right.
I mean, that was the guy I was targeting.
I was targeting if he would have fell to us.
Yeah, that was very unexpected. And I think if Gibson was there, you know, like 10, 15 picks later when the Bucks picked, that would have been the guy. So the way I look at Vaughn to sort of like explain it to other people who don't look up, haven't gone and looked at him and his scouts and all that stuff and his stats and things, is I kind of see him like Cam Akers, is that he's a very willing blitz pickup blocker. He just hasn't sort of polished it up yet, but he's better at Cam Akers than that. He's very tough running in between the tackles. He does have breakaway speed. You know, once he gets out in the open, he's not going to sort of be shifty and make people miss, but he has played behind a really crappy offensive line this year. And that's why his numbers went down.
Yeah, 130th, I think like 128th ranked in college. And they had three different quarterbacks during that 2019. So it's like they had no passing game.
And he still did things. So I think the Bucks are betting on or hoping, and I think fans should do the same thing, that this guy just didn't have room to run. Was not in the right program to show off his skills. Mm-hmm. Like if he played at Memphis, he could very well been just like Gibson, you know, a guy that they lined up, could pass block. They throw the screen game to him, not necessarily split out, but they could throw the screen game to him. And when he got the ball with breakaway speed. So I kind of view him as Cam Akers, as in we really don't know what his potential can be because of the offensive line that he played behind, especially his last year there. So I'm excited for it.
I think if you want to see a better stat line, look at his 2018, because I think what happened that after that, they had three starting offensive linemen taken in the 2019 draft, mm-hmm. the 2019 draft. And so they had three starters taken. And then that's why it changed. That's why he had a bad year, because they had three offensive linemen taken. So I think if you want to look at a stat line, maybe 2018 would be a more better one to look at.
Yeah, at least one you that Maybe. would be a at least a more fair comparison to what he projects behind the Bucks. But I think they had to reach for him, but I don't mind because they had that he wasn't going to be there in the fifth.
I don't mind him either.
Yeah, and like you know, Eno Benjamin didn't go to like the sixth.
So you think Keyshawn Vaughn in the third was a reach?
Yes,
is what you're saying. Okay,
but that's because he wasn't going to be there in the fifth, and they needed a running back, and they were going to take him, and the other five were gone. The other six were gone.
Right,
and he was the seventh guy off the board. I mean, being the seventh guy off the board in this running back class with people like McFarland and Eno Benjamin, mm-hmm. and you know these other players around, it's not a bad thing. It's really not. It's just the guy that none of us talked about and none of us looked at because we're taking one in the second round. And if not, Akers will be there in the third. And if not, then we'll get Gibson. And everyone quit looking after that.
Right. Let me ask you this. And Ren, I mean, I know you're not sitting in the draft room with Jason Light, you know, or privy to much information. But with the Antoine Winfield pick at safety, was he just the BPA for them at that point? Like at a position of like, was it that magical crosshairs of BPA versus
what
they felt was a position of need more than a running back that was available at that time?
That's exactly what happened. Like when they looked across their board and there was a name sticking up above the all other ones, and they looked at it and it was Antoine Winfield Jr. Right. And so they took him. I mean,
because I don't know much about this guy. I don't do a ton of research on these guys before the draft, but my thought, because I was asking, like, is J.K. Dobbins going to be this year's Dalvin Cook? And for anyone who doesn't know what I'm talking about, a couple years ago, I think it was the O.J. draft, right? We drafted O.J. over Dalvin Cook or somebody.
Yeah.
And people for years were just, should have taken Cook. But here's what I'm thinking about Winfield. Let's play it forward and say Winfield comes out and plays awesome and really locks that down and shows up in that second.
Let's say he's the next time on Matthew,
let's say he does really well. Well, I don't give a flying rip what J.K. Dobbins or one of these other you could have had this guy, because you then have to say, yeah, but look who we did get. And, you know, now if Winfield goes out and falls on his face, then, you know, we'll deal with that. And that's the way, you know, social media works. But it's one of those where I just sit back and kind of go, you know, you've got to believe that he was the top. But then we come down to, I'm sorry, and I don't mean to get out of it because I know we're talking about Keyshawn Vaughn right now. That just left Keyshawn Vaughn as, again, the magical road of BPA on their board versus position of need.
That was more of a, we need a running back, but when we get to that BPA position of need in the fifth round, no one's going to be there that we want. So we have to go get this guy.
So let's call it the projected position where there'll be later. Right. Yeah. Because they didn't have a fourth at all. So I get that. Hey, John, buddy, man, you got anything else you want to talk to us tonight about, bud?
Unless if it's Tyler Johnson, then I don't think I should do that right now, though. About Tyler Johnson.
We'll definitely get into that. John, thank you so much. I'm going to grab this other call that's coming in right now. All right, buddy. Thanks so much. You are on the line with Brent and Wren for the PewterCast Live 2020 post-draft show. Who do we have here?
This is Johnny.
John, this is three John Johnnies or Jonathans in a row. Go ahead, Johnny. What's up, man?
Hey, man. Sorry, I thought I was getting in Latino after watching the show. Anyway, from Sarasota, but I'm actually living in Nashville now.
All right.
And I wanted to kind of just echo some things that I heard Wren talking about Keyshawn Vaughn.
Okay.
I have my fiance's dad works for Vanderbilt football, and so I saw a lot of Keyshawn in the last few years. And I heard some people talking about the Missouri quarterback, how he is, you know, a one man show because you can't name any other weapons on that team, and they went 10-3. You can't really say the same thing about Vanderbilt because they didn't really have a great year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But Keyshawn was far and away like the highlight of that team. You know, you could kind of count on at least once or twice a game he would get like a home run, and it was against like, you know, some of the best defenses around, like LSU and Florida.
Yeah,
and
he plays in SEC. He doesn't get to play Vandy,
right? And it's like. Exactly. It's like if you got to play Vandy, it would be a nightmare. this guy was a really big bright spot just in that, like, he would, you know, pretty reliably rip a home run on some really talented defenses. And, like, just, you know, on a team that was, you know, maybe less motivated than others because of their record and whatnot, he always played pretty hard-nosed and whatnot.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Jonathan Taylor, you know, argument. Like, you know, you want to beat Wisconsin? Stop Jonathan Taylor. But they still had, you know, top tier athletes around him. You go to Vandy and it's like, you want to beat Vandy, you know, stop Keyshawn Vaughn, but there's no one else. Yeah, that's it. Like, that's, you know, that was really it. It was like Jordan, his first 2 years at Chicago. It was like, you got to score all the points or we're not going to win.
Right.
So, yeah. So I said, I'm excited. It's just a name that people didn't really familiarize themselves with. I trust these guys because of the draft last year. But then also Jason Light and his scouting staff has proven more than once that they have swung and missed on some running backs. So I'm putting my trust in the BA coaching staff side of a sort of evaluation and trying to ignore the Jason Light and his staff evaluation of running backs and just, you know, putting it out there and looking for the positives. And, I don't think the Bucs had it. Like, they knew what they were doing. As soon as they drafted Winfield, they had to have known that missing out on every back that they had above Vaughn was a real distinct possibility. Mm-hmm. And they had to know we'd be okay with that. So if they're okay with it, I'm okay with it. And I'm ready. I'm excited to see this kid roll. Cause apparently like he's like intense.
Who, Vaughn?
Yeah.
He thinks a lot of himself. I'll tell you that. I watched his, his interview with Casey and, and he's straight outside. He's like, I think I'm the best draft. I'm the best back in the whole damn draft. You know, which I mean, you assume most players think they're the best player in the draft, right? But I mean, like he legit, he just straight out laid it out there. And I just went, wow, that's, and you know, here's the thing. And I say this, I feel like I say this every year, maybe I don't, but you know, you always seem to get surprised. You know, there's people that you thought were going to be amazing, hands down, or great. And people that you thought would just kind of make me mediocre or less. Turn out to be really good sometimes. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen
for sure. And it's like the thing where, you know, Ren, you said it again, if you wanted to stop Vandy, you just had to stop him. You know, he would find a way to make plays happen despite having, you know, three subpar quarterbacks, despite having, you know, O linemen that were, you know, kind of clueless at times, despite having a defense that would, you know, not help him at all. So he would, you know, in a handful of situations make things happen. So I feel like, you know, it's kind of a sneaky move to look at a school like Vanderbilt and go get their best guy because nobody's going to be paying attention to, you know, the bottom of the SEC, but it might, you know, hopefully it plays out. I just wanted to, you know, shed some light on Keyshawn. Thanks for having me, you guys. I appreciate it. I'll let you guys go and get on the next one.
Johnny, thank you so much for your call, man. We definitely, definitely appreciate it.
Thank you.
Guys, phone lines up. We got people stacking on top of each other now, Ren.
Let's do it.
Phone lines open, 864-729-BUCKS. You guys call us back or hit the Be Live link over in the chat and you guys can join us right here live. Ren, you've got until the next person calls in to finish that story.
The end. I don't even remember where I was.
You were texting with Chris. He was texting you back and forth.
No, I wasn't texting.
Well, he was texting Chris at you. All. Sorry. He was rubbing it in, shall we say.
So quickly, I'm like, okay, how am I going to spin this to make it Brent's fault?
Oh, about the safety thing. Yeah.
And all I can say is that I needed to take the heat off him because, you know, I leave him alone for one night and he tweets some stupid crap about Tristan Wirfs.
Right.
So I knew you were going to do that months ago. I've been setting this up, saving your butt.
There you go.
No, I was wrong. They were right, you know, and I've explained my reasons why. And I'm glad he's a Buck and I hope he's here and I hope he's the best safety when he walks in the room and he makes the plays that he did in college. Let's go Bucks.
Right. Well, you know, and you have said for whatever it's worth, Ren, that I'm sorry. Hold on. You have said that you're actually really excited about it now that you've had some time to think about it and go through it. So, all right. So we've got Antoine Winfield. We got Keyshawn Vaughn. We've got 2 fourth-round picks not happening at all. Hold on, I'm trying to get somebody in here. This is why we need a producer, Ren. That's not also on the thing.
Sure. Or you could just practice more.
No, well, there's things that have to happen. Uh-oh, nope, that's not him. Sorry. We do, just so folks know, there's something weird going on with the phone line tonight where it's not coming through where it needs to go through. So some of you guys who are calling in, I actually have to like decline your call and then call you back from like my regular phone. So that's a little bit of what's happening over here. But anyway, you got anything else about Keyshawn Vaughn before we move on? Because
I do not.
The last big one that I really want to get in and talk about is Tyler Johnson. So we wait all through the entire fourth round.
That was excruciating, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, wait, just the waiting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can get with you on that.
Do you want me to just talk about Tyler Johnson while you try to figure out how to work a phone?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. Tyler Johnson.
Take it.
Well, you keep like, you're like, Tyler Johnson. And then you're trying to talk about him and you're messing with the phone. Like, just throw it to me and I'll talk. There you go. And to you, sir.
That's our new signal, Ren.
Go. Panic. I'm panicking. Go.
Welcome to the live stream of PewterCast Live, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, you should be pretty familiar with Tyler Johnson because you almost picked him in the one mock draft you did.
Right.
And as soon as you picked the other guy, which was another Johnson from Texas, and you liked him because he was taller. I think he was 6'3" and a speed guy. Okay. And everyone went, yeah, you should have took Tyler Johnson. You know, but you didn't know. But yeah, right. So, you know, this is big for like, I think it would have been a really good pick in the fourth round. Uh-huh. Getting him in the fifth round is, it's really nice. And I guess if you're one of those people that are really upset about the Vaughn pick and think like the Tyler Johnson pick was such a great pick, just flip them and then you feel better about the draft.
There you go.
Just pretend they got Johnson in the third.
There you go.
And they got Vaughn in the fifth. And now
and you'll be fine.
And your life still the is same all people. Good.
So say, Ren, I got somebody on the line here. Let's check out and see who we have. I'm pretty well. I don't know. Caller, who do we have here? You're joining Brent and Ren on PewterCast Live.
Ren, it's Neil from Lake. How y'all doing?
Neil, what's going on, buddy?
Hello.
Hey. So you know, a couple of things, guys. Ren, you were pretty confident about the tackle in the first round, which you were right. I thought that was kind of cool. But you know, the trenches, man, they didn't really, and you know, they really didn't, you know, go for it as far as DT or anything like that. Just wanted to know, you know, how you felt about that as far as, you know, why they didn't go for it.
Sure. You know, they did later, and we'll get there. They got Khalil Davis out of Nebraska, who's somebody I watched at the East-West Shrine Bowl. I didn't watch a lot of them because I was really focusing on the offensive line because I thought maybe they might double dip there. And it basically comes down to getting rid of those fourth rounders. Now, I'm not upset they did, because if you're getting one of the big four tackles, which you desperately needed, and you're getting Gronkowski and a security blanket that with the shortened, you know, preseason, shortened training camp, that they can go in week one and have this Mike Evans, Jameis Winston connection and sort of make the offense roll till everyone catches up to it. I think, you know, that's more valuable than a fourth round pick. So I'm not upset about it, but needing, you know, the tackle and needing a running back and then having the safety fall to them. And the fourth round was somewhere where, you know, they could have got a Gallimore out of Oklahoma, the kid from TCU, like he was there in the fourth, and that's kind of where it happened. Well, now we're in the fifth round, and you know, you have been talking about wide receiver. You know, they said we're not going to re-sign Perryman. We're going to draft one that might have went away with Gronk, because yes, he's not a wide receiver, but he is a very, you know, potent receiving threat. But then you look up at your board, and you got this name sticking out, Tyler Johnson. You're just like, okay, well, he's your guy. All right, well, now we're in the sixth round. You know, we haven't done edge. We haven't gone interior defensive line. And it's just the way the board broke. And they got the guy, you know, Khalil Davis out of Nebraska, who seems to be, you know, sort of this explosive double team splitter guy with a pretty good anchor, you know, and he'll be fine. And he automatically makes the team right now. Because behind Golston, Vea, and Sue is Nacho and some other guys like Ledbetter and, like, you know, just dudes. So, you know, I think Khalil Davis is
outside, right?
Yeah, Nelson's edge.
Yeah.
So it's like this guy's already like he's already been inserted in the rotation on game day on the depth chart. And, you know, you don't even know his jersey number yet. So even though I would like to see it a little earlier, I've already started thinking about next year. And I think how close the Bucks are to being the Ravens, where they can just sit there and then they can just pick best player available because they've got quality everywhere. You know, they're probably going to want to look at edge. They're probably going to want to look into your defensive line to get it younger, you know, an upgrade. Because remember, Golston will be on his last year. Sue will be a free agent, you know. But after that, then what? Then we're looking at interior offensive line. Like, they can literally just wait for the, like the Ravens do, and wait for the best players to fall in their lap. And everyone go, whoa, they're so, gee, what a great pick. They're geniuses, because they don't have to go after needs. And so even though, like I said, no interior offensive line, no interior defensive line, already looking forward to next year. Like, I think those will be like day one, day two picks, because that's just kind of what's left they need, and they don't necessarily need starters.
I don't know, just life approach on it. I don't know what you think sometimes, but it is
what
it
did
is,
you guys. Like I'm about like, it
I wanted him to be more, just go towards defense a little bit more. I really wanted him to do that. And
why? Neil, let me ask you why. Why did you want him to go more towards defense? Our defense, at least by the end of the year last year, was pretty good, and they mostly brought everybody back, at least all the key people. So, why were you emphasizing defense so much more?
Well, I just look at San Fran when I can't think of his name, and he went over there and he just went, you know, towards defense, and look how successful they were. And I don't know, man. I like the guys we have. I just think that, like, in the second round, the second and third round, we just could have had a different approach on things. But
right. I understand. But those were a completely, trust me, I understand. I didn't want a safety at all, but those were, they drafted starters. And if they would have went interior offensive line and interior defensive line in the second and third, like, you were getting rotational guys at best. So I can understand why they did that. That's kind of why I'm excited for next year. Looking forward is like, they can just, like I said, they can go BPA. And I really expect them as it stands now. And of course, everything's going to change. I'm going to look like an idiot in like, you know, 330 days. Mm-hmm. But as it stands now, like those, like they really can concentrate, you know, high draft capital back on the trenches.
Well, you know, next year, you know, the team's going to look different. I mean, they really got some tough decisions to make next year. So that's going to be kind of,
do they? Know.
Well, it's financially. I mean, they can't keep everybody. I mean, some people everybody, are going to lose, right?
They're under contract. I mean, JPP's under contract. Mm-hmm. We'll see about Shaq. Chris Godwin's got an extension. Mike's under contract. Brady's under contract. Rojo's under contract. All the rookies are under contract. Donovan's under contract. Allie's under contract. Jensen's under contract. Kappa's under contract. Worf's under contract. Sue is not. Vea is. Golson is. White is. They're probably going to look to extend Levante David. I can't really honestly tell you if his contract's up next year or not. The entire secondary is still under contract.
Yeah.
Like,
for whatever it's worth, I just looked it up right now. According to Spotrac, the Bucks are projected to have $70 million in cap space next year. So not quite as high as this year. You know, again, you gotta factor in, you know, rookies and all that kind of stuff. And there are some expiring contracts that are going to have to be filled back in. I wouldn't say they'd be in cap hell that they'd have to. But I mean, they're going to have to make some decisions for sure. You know, but I don't know that it's going to be a dire situation though at all.
Right.
So,
well, guys, all right, man. Well, I hope I made you feel better.
No, yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a good one.
No, you have a great one, man. Hopefully, we'll hear back from you later on this season. All right.
Thanks, Neil.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is a good point, which I didn't really think of, or at least recall it here. Bucks dive in the pool. He says this wasn't a, you know, in the trenches, it wasn't deep on the defensive side or the offensive side. Like, inside, like after the tackles, the tackles were okay. The interior offensive line was a terrible draft.
Right.
The interior defensive line was not a very good draft. The edge was a awful draft.
Yeah.
So, you know, you draft where the strengths are.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll just kind of respond to Neil. Like, I don't mind the idea of a little bit more defense, you know, even having a more even draft, you know, some offense, some defense. I don't mind that. You know, I was just curious as to what his particular reasoning and what his particular why was. For that. So this should be good. Let's see if we can't get this one figured out. Tyler, I don't know that I heard your complete thoughts on Tyler Johnson, but I want to get back to him in just a moment. But we do have a caller on the line. You're here with Brent and Wren. Who do we have here tonight?
Hey, Brent, it's Craig.
Craig, what's going on, buddy? Welcome back to the show, friend.
Thanks. How you guys doing? Good?
Good, yeah. I've never been better.
Yeah. What day is today? Sunday? Or is it Saturday? Every day we run to the same, right?
Are we even using the Roman calendar anymore?
Right.
Yeah,
I think we've just turned to that old prison thing where you just put tick marks on the wall.
Exactly.
I think is what we've all been doing. Yeah.
I've been here 12 minutes already. little top secret reference for you folks out there.
Yeah. So listen, regarding the draft, they're all in this year.
Yeah.
So everything they did was things they thought that are going to get the team to the playoffs and beyond for this next season. Mm-hmm. So I like Vaughn as a running back. Listen, as a Gator, I've seen him play many times. He plays behind it, and he plays for a school that really doesn't value football, but he plays against the best competition week after week in the SEC. And so he's gone against Bama, gone against Georgia, Florida, Auburn. He's played against LSU. He's played against all the big boys. So it's not like it's strange, the competition he's walking into. He's not like he's an average running back from a D2 or D3 school, or maybe not a Power 5 school. He's coming from the best football conference by the numbers that were drafted this last draft, and he fared out well against a team that, frankly, is the ACC of the SEC when it comes to it. So I think they did well. I like Winfield just because of the pedigree. Mm-hmm. I mean, anytime you have an NFL pedigree, I think that's great for the organization. And they had to address the tackle. So they gave up the fourth round pick. They had two. They gave up one. They had to get one of those tackles. I think Lynch did him a favor as a former Buccaneer, saying, hey, you know what? Give us the other fourth and you can move up one spot. You get who you need. And I think that's a good move. So I don't think there's a bad move with any of those moves right there.
I'm not going to go as far as say Lynch did him a favor, but I think Lynch had better offers or higher picks in phone calls.
You
but
do?
The flip, yeah, but the flip side yeah. being is they would have to go down in the 20s they wouldn't, you know, and if they stayed where they were, you know, don't forget they traded back up to go get their wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk. So like to them, it was worth it to get a 4 instead of a 3 knowing to not have to drop only. Yeah. Knowing that
the Bucks aren't picking our guy.
Yes, exactly.
Right, right.
So we're dropping back one spot. We have no zero reservations about knowing we have to lose our guy. We don't have to sweat it out, and we pick up a 4th round. You know, it's like a no brainer, and it's a no brainer for us. It was just a good trade.
Yeah, and listen,
it takes like about 30 seconds to think about it, and you're good with it.
Exactly. I also like that the Bucks opponents didn't go all in, and I'll give you one right now. The Packers drafting me was awful. Mm. They didn't draft one receiver. They drafted another running back, and I don't think they helped their situation. And they got to come to Raymond James this year. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Packers got any better. I was one of the teams that really, you look on the schedule, like that's a team that really has to worry about. They didn't address their weapon. They've got another running back. And I think that gave them another win on two. I don't think the teams around them in the division totally jumped off the charts. Yeah, I could see Carolina. They needed to draft defense because in this division, if you don't have a good secondary, a good pass rush, good luck with what the weapons that the Bucks are going to throw out. And the Saints and the other teams in this division. So I don't think anybody in the division addressed all their needs. And I think the Bucs addressed all their needs that they had to for this season coming up. Don't worry about the future. Don't worry about 2 years from now. Don't worry about a year from now. Mm-hmm. Only worry about the 2020 season. And if the Bucs are fully loaded, which I think they are, that's what they have to worry about. I know some people in the franchise maybe have to look forward and the fans like, well, we want to sustain it. I don't care. They got to win it all this year. That's what I'm looking for. And that's all everybody should worry about. Don't worry about the salary cap in 2021 or 2022. We've got 2 years of the GOAT. They're going all in for it, and that's all you want to do. It's a win now league. And so don't worry about the future. Worry about this season only. I do think they need a little depth on the D line. I think this wave of secondary free agents that are going to come through can help address some of the holes that they're going to have. I think no big deal for not getting a quarterback. I don't think there was anybody later in that draft. I know they were high on the FIU quarterback. One of my best friends growing up is his agent. The Bucks had talked to him a ton, and he was shocked he went in the 4th round.
He went high.
I know the Bucks really did want him, but when the Jets valued it. But you know what? After that, there was no one worthwhile that you had to go. And people are like, well, they didn't address the future. Who cares about that? If any of the quarterback besides number 12 Tom Brady plays next season, we're doomed. So don't worry about the backup. Don't worry about the third string. Don't worry about the developmental guy. You're all in for this year.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, I don't think anyone in our division had a great draft. I mean, the Saints got 3 really good players, I think, and good value for all of them. But then that's it. Like, they traded all of their draft picks to go up and get that tight end from Dayton and then say goodnight. And then at the very, very end of the draft, I don't even know what they traded, but they got back in and picked a quarterback, you know? So they got a center, a tight end. And I really don't remember who their mid round pick was or their second round pick was.
Yeah. And that quarterback is at Mississippi State.
I don't know. It's like the backup. If Taysom Hill decides to leave, like now we start grooming this guy for it, I guess, you know, like as the niche player, the Falcons,
and
just
somebody
like,
else now too.
Yeah, not yet. Well, then don't bring it up. So, you know, the Falcons were just kind of like, eh. It's like all their picks felt like the Vaughn pick, where it's like, it felt like they were settling. Like, we need a cornerback, we got to settle for this guy. We need a guard, we got to settle for this guy. Like, that's how it felt through the whole entire thing. And then the Panthers, yeah, they went all defense, got some good players. I guarantee you not all of them's going to work out. And like their offense, their offensive line is still in shambles, and it's going to be a super young defense. But they're built for that. That's why the guy's got a 7-year contract. Like, the Panthers are in no hurry to, like, if they go 2-14, it's fine. It's okay. There's no one's getting fired. Nothing's going to happen. So, you know,
no one Carolina drafted is going to replace Luke Kuechly. There's nobody you could draft that can replace him.
No, and their secondary is still going to be a mess. It's still going to be a mess. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we've seen it. I mean,
how many? A few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've seen it here. Like, how many secondary players have based Jason Light drafts since he's been here? 107, and we're still drafting safeties and corners. Well, we didn't draft a corner, but we got one. But we want to talk about that. So, but yeah, we're still drafting DBs. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to take a while for the Panthers to turn around. The Saints are the Saints, but you know, I'm looking forward to the day that Drew Brees retires and they have to pay him $20 million for the next 5 years. You know, while he's like taking his Hall of Fame speech, he's still getting checks. from the Saints for millions and millions of dollars. So
there you go. There you go. I'm all right, Greg, you got anything else for us, buddy?
I got one last question.
Gotcha.
Tell me you were not hoping on that last pick, the seventh round, instead of another running back. Did you not want to see a kicker just for the fun of it, just for Jason Light and the fun of it?
Just tradition.
Draft another kicker. Why not? It's a tradition every year, right?
No.
No.
I'll answer that for you, Red. No, I'm good.
Yeah, I was not.
All right. Thanks, Greg, man. We'll talk to you later. All right, buddy.
All right. Stay safe. All right. Yeah, take care, guys. Thanks.
Be good. Bye. Be good.
Thanks, Greg.
Ren, before we get too further, we got somebody who wants to join us here on the live stream. Let me see if I can't bring them over. We got Prime coming in 3, 2, 1. Prime, what's going on, buddy? Welcome into the live stream here with PewterCast.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Well, how are you?
Man, I'm good. In my house like everybody else, right?
There you go.
All right. Except for Peyton Barber, apparently, you know. Is there any follow him on Instagram? All he does is ride around his bike all day. Like,
does he really?
Like,
no, I didn't know.
Oh, you follow Peyton Barber Instagram? It is from morning till night, him outside.
He's not Tom Brady, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Basically how that goes, right?
White guy can't walk around the Tampa without getting harassed. Go ahead.
That's great.
All also right, untrue.
You imagine what that cop's like. Hey, you can't be here. You can't be. It's you.
Listen, no.
Can I get better autograph?
Than that,
can
I? It's the guy that's sitting there eating, and Tom Brady walks into the house.
Oh yeah,
like Jesus Christ,
right? Right. Right. And Tom Brady like drops the F bomb. He's like, oh fuck. Like,
yeah, you know, but I love how the guy said Tom Brady was he's like, yeah, he came in and started unpacking his bag, you know, right. Didn't ask anything, you know, just starts unpacking. And then as this guy's looking at him like, what the F is going on? He's like, oh, I'm in the wrong house, aren't I?
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Yeah. And then he grabs his bag and leaves.
Yes.
He doesn't like take a picture with the guy, doesn't give him an autograph, hey, give him a jersey.
That guy introduce himself, meet him.
He doesn't seem
quick enough on his feet. I don't think he can stop Tom Brady before that. Okay. I would have realized what's going on quick.
Hey, Alexa, lock the door.
Yeah.
Stan.
Yeah. Oh my wife would have locked the door.
I just turned on my Alexa. Stop.
By the way, my wife is an actual Patriots fan.
Oh.
So if Tom Brady.
Thanks, Prime. We appreciate your time tonight, buddy. No, I'm just joking, man.
All right, let this guy talk, man. Yeah. We've been joshing for like 5 minutes. What's up?
Oh, man. All right. So quick thoughts. Wirfs. So on Wirfs first, I understand people like me, the ones who wanted CEH, Swift, different running backs. I think Wirf will impact the running game more than any single running back would have, period.
It's a good point.
I love Dot, but Dot being gone and putting Wirfs in there, who's a beast. Mm-hmm. That by itself, even if we didn't get Vaughn, which I'll comment on in a second, even if we didn't get Vaughn, mm-hmm. Wirfs alone would have improved our running game measurably mm-hmm. for next year.
Can I add to that, Prime?
Go.
Because not just Wirfs, we also got Gronk earlier in the week.
Yes,
who is historically, you know, he's also a really good blocker, turns out.
Great point. Between Wirfs and Gronk, our run game, our run game should look nothing like last year. Okay. I don't know how many times we've talked on this show, you guys talked on the show, and pointed out Rojo getting caught in the backfield, dodging people in the backfield. So we should not see so much of that this year.
Hey, let's call up Doug Martin, get him back in, man. Maybe some. No, I'm mistaken. Go ahead.
Winfield, I did not see that pick coming at all.
Because you're smart.
Yeah, I'm in good company with not expecting Winfield. But right. I did not expect Winfield. And as I looked at it, there was one thing in particular that stood out for me as why he's in Tampa now. It's I don't know how many you guys probably remember how many times did BA mention, some half joking but serious, last year, one thing that our DBs lack: ball skills. Nobody can catch. And I don't know how many times he talked about that, about this person should have had a pick six, this person should have had an interception right in his hands. And when I look at Winfield's tape, I see ball skills everywhere. And so I believe that is one of the main reasons why he will be starting come week one, is they want ball skills in that DB room. And as of right now, until it develops, Winfield and probably SMB have the best hands.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
And then quick points on Vaughn. He ran a 4.51 in the 40. when I look at Vaughn at his 40 and I look at his tape, he seems to me to be the opposite of Rojo. Mm-hmm. Rojo has an insane speed. I don't always see that on the field, but when I look at Vaughn on the field, he runs faster than what his 40 was. Yeah. He ran a ridiculous home run hit against LSU. LSU doesn't have slow players, right?
This just in, breaking news.
Right. Yeah, our linebacker comes from LSU, and he's insanely fast. Well, Vaughn outran that team, right? Yeah. So that doesn't look like a 4.51 to me. So I think he plays faster than what he tests. We'll see that come fall. I don't expect him to take over for Rojo, okay? No. But at all. But I think he's going to be an excellent number two.
Prime, real quick, just to jump back to the Winfield. Somebody in the chat is saying, and I don't know if this is true, it's just what they're saying in the chat, that Winfield's picks came in game cinching situations, not just like blowout game. Interceptions are all valuable, but like that's an even more valuable interception, right?
Matter of fact, I'm glad they said that. Did y'all see the comment he made? And I loved it when he was, I don't know if it's before, it might've been before he got drafted at the combine, that he said, you'll notice me on the field when it's clutch time. When it's clutch time, mm-hmm. Then you'll notice me on that field. And so he believes in himself and in clutch to actually make the play. If I don't know if y'all saw that. There's one clip. I don't remember somebody in the comments probably knows the team. But looks like a run. They're in the end zone, and he recognizes that the running back is going to pass it and drops back. And that interception, it was a one-handed interception that was insane. If you don't know which one I'm talking about, go check it out. It's ridiculous. Tyler Johnson will be a fan favorite by the end of the year.
Hey, we haven't talked about Tyler Johnson, and here's my quick synopsis. Yeah. I like to put people, and so Buck fans can understand it. I think he's Chris Godwin.
Really?
Thank you. I've said
really.
That. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, and Chris Godwin was drafted in the fourth round.
Third.
Third. No, third. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Whatever.
Third. Still. But you got to look at the wide receiver class.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. This is an insane class. Yeah. Tell me why you think he's Chris Godwin.
Because he's not the fastest. He's not the biggest. He doesn't run the best routes. He doesn't have the best hands. Mm-hmm. It's the Larry Bird. He's not the best passer, not the best shooter, not the best jumper. He's just the best. And that's what Tyler Johnson is. You know, if you grade across the board, he's not going to win. He's not going to win the relay. He's not going to win the 40. He's not going to win the vert. He's not going to win the box jump. He's not going to win the broad jump. He's not going to drop the least amount of passes. But then when you average those all out, guess who's sitting at the top of the board? Tyler Johnson.
Yep. And he gets open.
And when he doesn't get open, he catches it anyway.
Yes. Right? Yes. I think he's going to be a fan favorite. I think fans are going to love that kid.
He can do it all. And he doesn't have, he's only 6 feet. That's what they said about Godwin. It's like, he's not really that big. And everyone came at camp and you stood next to him. You're like, you're more than 6 feet, bro.
Everybody says he's bigger.
He is. I've stood next to him. He is. He's just like, there's no way he's 6 feet, and Johnson can high point the ball. He's a good route. Like, he does everything just good. And the only knock on him right now is that he had 6 drops. Well, they threw them at him like 146 times. So yes. if you put his drops into, average them out, like drop per targets, he's actually above average for college, which really doesn't say a lot because, you're in the NFL now. It doesn't really matter what you did in college. And right. That pool's a little different. But I remember, Brett, you'll remember too, Godwin's rookie year. I'm like, I really like this kid. He can be something, but he drops the ball too much for me.
Right, right. I remember that.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. Evans, year one, dropped the ball too much, complained.
I think in year two, Evans had one game that like ruined his whole year for the fans. I think it might have been a Saints game or something where he had like 4 drops.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think I remember that particular game. Ren's usually the one with the memory on that stuff. He's like, it was September 3rd. It was raining outside. The barometric pressure was falling at 30 PSI or whatever.
I was eating a hot dog.
The Bucks ran a go route to the left.
And I want y'all's thoughts on this draft, tangentially draft related. So since OJ made it through draft weekend without being traded,
right?
Do you think he is on the roster week one? And then just your thoughts on if yes, how do you feel about that?
Yes, and I feel good about it because I think this might be a bit of a stretch, but just as much as BA has been brought in, like one of the reasons BA was coming to Tampa was brought in to try to fix Jameis. I think one of the reasons that they like Gronk being here is him trying to fix OJ Howard and teach him how to prepare and how, you know, because the grumblings are he didn't pick up the playbook, you know, and it, he does. He like lose. He's out there. He doesn't look focused now. Like people are saying, he doesn't have the instincts for football, and it's kind of spreading around. So, and if you look at his whole career, you can kind of see it. It's like he's. It's not that he's not all there. It's that he's dumb. It just it doesn't. Football doesn't come naturally to him, and he really has to work at the minutia of to be able to become the best. And I think with him there and Gronk there in the same room, this is the guy. If it ever is going to completely click, and let's face it, yeah, this is the guy that's going to do it. Let's face it, if OJ Howard doesn't become any better than he is now, he's still like top 12 tight end in the league, you know.
Yeah,
but he's not you know, he doesn't turn into a Kelsey, you know, he's not, you know, he's never an Olsen, you know, he's definitely not a Kittle. He's never going to be up there and be like a Pro Bowler year after year type of guy, which he has, you know, the body type and the talent to do. But so I like it, you know, and it's just another weapon. It's, you know, again, like, and then when Tyler Johnson, like, who the hell are you going to cover? Like, you cannot double anyone. Like, you can't, it's disgusting. They should just light up with three offensive linemen and like seven receivers and make them go dime. Like,
look, throw it every offensive ball. Lineman, two tight ends to chip on the way out and all receivers.
Yeah, and just do it. And be like,
you know,
well,
I said,
you know,
that. I said that a couple of years ago, Ren, when we had no running game. I said, listen, screw the running game. Put all our receivers out there every play. Tell them we're going to throw the ball every single play and make them figure it out from there. Make them beat us if that's what we're going to do. I said that in jest. But, I mean, like,
with
I get what you're saying.
It'd be tough.
Yeah, make it like a 3-4 defense, or excuse a 3-4 defense where like one of the guys is not going to rush, because you have to keep at least five guys back. So two of the receivers aren't going to go out.
Right.
Which ones are they?
Right.
Just put them in a bunch formation, like on the left-hand side, like nine of them.
A five-man bunch.
Yeah. And just throw the ball over there, and they all, like the high school, they all turn and then they all scatter and you don't have the ball. Like, just do that every play. Just do it.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, you asked a question, so I'll chime in on the OJ thing. I agree. I think he's probably on the roster week one, and I'm okay with it, because and the reason why is I don't think the Bucs are going to get a value of a trade for OJ now. I just don't. Because look, we all saw what happened to OJ over the last couple of years. If we've heard all the rumors, if we see it, guess what? All those GMs and scouting departments out there in the rest of the league who do this professionally, they all see it. They all have contacts inside the building. They can text people and find out what's going on. So this is my opinion. I don't have any inside information, but just reading between the lines.
Who's giving up information? Who's the Buccaneer staffer that's talking?
Because if they're sitting there saying, "Hey, what's this guy like in the locker room?" Or you know,
your
we're thinking
business, asshole.
I'm looking to trade for it, whatever. But no, listen, you guys, look. You just sat there and said, "Rumor is he doesn't get his head in the playbook." Right?
He has trouble picking up the playbook.
He has trouble picking up the playbook. Right. Yes. But my point is, if you heard that, Rand, and no offense against you, everybody else out there in the league is going to hear that.
So did the Bears,
you know what I mean?
So did
that's my point is, and he's a first round draft pick. That, do you remember the look on Dirk Cutter and Jason's light face when they drafted OJ Howard?
They're very excited.
It was Christmas.
Yeah, exactly. They're not getting a trade offer where they feel like it's worth it. So when Jason Light comes out and says, "Yeah, we got Gronk, OJ, and Cam Brate. That's a hell of a tight end room. Why would I want to change that?" Like,
dude, look at these freaking rooms. Look at the safety room.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Whitehead might be out on his butt.
Right.
Like, the wide receiver
room. Whitehead.
The wide receiver room. Justin Watson might not make the team. Scotty Miller might not
make the team. Yeah.
One of those two, Justin or Scotty, I think one of those two is gone.
It's getting thin.
It's going to be Justin. It's going to be Justin, because basically Tyler Johnson's a better version of Justin Watson.
Yeah.
And Scotty's the fastest one in the room.
And that's why he gets to stay.
Yeah.
You know, that's why. And then look at the goddamn tight end room. Gronk, OJ Howard, like how do you it's like a who's who, man.
And then you go to defensive line, and you got your edge rushers, your linebackers. I mean, Look, the Bucks, and I've said this, Prime, and I'm going to let you go here in just a second, but you know, I've said this. The Bucks have a couple of glaring pieces that they need to fill in. At this point, everything else is depth, you know?
Yes.
And you know, I know we get excited in the offseason in Tampa, right? I know we all heard Dirk Cutter look at Jameis Winston on Hard Knocks and say, this is the best roster that we've ever had since you've been in the league. And none of those rosters compare to what is happening in Tampa right now.
At all.
Lot of this assumes that a 43-year-old Tom Brady is still going to go out and play the way that we know Tom Brady can. And that Gronk is still going to be able to, like, it assumes that all of that's going to happen. But, you know, Craig said it several times, the Bucks are all in for this year. And I don't think they're going to leverage the future like we saw the Rams do a couple years ago. I don't think we've leveraged the future, but they're all in for everything that they're doing right now. And I am super excited about this upcoming season, which is why I'm not allowing anyone to say, you know, you're not going to be a season this year. No. We're having a season, damn it, because this is our best shot in a decade and a half.
No, definitely, man. And I'll jump off here so people can get on. I think Light front office need to be given credit for both loading the team up for this year and not mortgaging the future away.
Yes.
You know, because somehow this offseason, they've orchestrated this in such a way by getting Brady for nothing, Gronk for a fourth, right tackle out of, I mean, then adding through the draft key pieces, like you said, starting pieces through the draft. They've set it up to go all in and within 1 year and still be able to build for the future. That's just well done. That's well done on the front office.
Yeah, and that's something we've been talking about, how Jason Light and Greenberg don't get enough credit for, is never putting this team in a bad cap, and all their contracts are team friendly. Like, if you looked at this offseason, and all these guys were not Buccaneers, but they have signed Tom Brady, Jason Pierre-Paul, Shaq Barrett, Ndamukong Suh. That's a freaking free agency class. Like, you remember, like, they didn't have to come back.
Right.
This is true.
You know, and then you trade for Rob Gronkowski, you know, and then you fill your biggest needs with your first three draft picks, and then you start doing for depth. Like, and we're still good. I mean, I know we're over the cap right now if you plug in all the draft picks, but they're going to get under it. Like Brent said, they already got $70 million lined up for next year, and that's before the cap even goes up. Like, you know, it's we're entering the golden age.
Oh, man. Oh. Prime, thank you so much for your call in tonight, man. It has been absolutely a pleasure talking to you, and absolutely likewise, excellent. Man. We're going to talk to you a lot more this season, okay, man?
Yes, sir.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Prime.
Prime, check the host chat. I sent you a message over there before you head out, all right, man?
All right, good deal, man. Appreciate it.
Talk to you later, man. Yeah. Bye. Let's hear. How do we do this? There we go.
Get him out of here.
He's out.
God.
I do that so often. I forgot how to get somebody off the main line.
So, off the main line.
All right, Ren. Well, man, we've talked a lot about our first four picks. Real quick, you mentioned earlier in the show that the last three were like, I've never even heard of this guy before.
I knew Davis.
So you have those guys. And then I know you have a couple of the guys' highlights from the undrafted free agents. So I'll just kind of let you take it where you want to go from here as we round out the show tonight.
Yeah, that's kind of wrapped this up. We've been on for like an hour and 40 minutes.
Yep.
Chappelle Campbell, Temple guy, seems to be a wild and crazy linebacker. A lot of people were thinking of Quarterman from Miami as a interior linebacker, because we do need depth there for sure.
Right.
And he seems to be sort of the same type of mold, a guy that's absolutely going to knock your head off, but plays out of control a lot and sort of needs to reel that in. Mm-hmm. Plus, like he
Quan,
had like
Quan on.
Yeah, Quan crack. Ramped up. Yeah. Quan ramped up. Yeah. Plus, he's one of those guys that Jason Light always likes to take a chance on. Not quite as bad as sort of like the Sitchi and the Beckwith and the Quan. Mm-hmm. But he did blow his knee out twice, but he's played a whole season since then.
Right.
But he's had like two ACL surgeries. And then Raymond, I know I'm going to get this right. Wrong. Calais.
Like there Calais Campbell.
Yeah, I probably
it's at least spelled exactly the same way. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced, but it's spelled exactly the same way. So we'll go with that. Calais.
You know, BA called him the joystick, small running back. He's everything that Vaughn's not. Shifty, quick, you know. It could be a third down back. Also could be a return guy.
Dare and TJ Logan.
Yeah. So this could be like sort of the fast guy right, you get him out in space and he'll be able to make the first guy miss and pick up the first down or make a big play, that type of deal. I don't, you know, expect the Bucs to lean on him heavily to run behind the tackles. I don't think he's going to be the short yardage guy. I think that's Vaughn's sort of the lose. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, a lot of people wanted to double up in certain positions. One of the certain positions Buck fans wanted to double up on were running back, and they ended up doing it. So, you know, we'll see how that works out with him. And there's only really two undrafted free agents that I wanted to talk about that I think are going to make some noise in camp. Michael Divinity, linebacker LSU. He played edge, then he played interior linebacker. Interior linebacker, it became very Prime says hit him up DM on Twitter. It became very apparent that he couldn't get off blocks very well, and his sort of instincts was slow to read and recognize, you know, play, run play versus pass play. But the year before that, he played edge, led the team in sacks, had like 10 and a half tackles for loss, which is a huge number for college. You know, had an interception, had banked down some passes, forced a bunch, you know, forced a handful of fumbles. So, but he has been disciplined by the team a lot, and it seems that it's drugs. But if it's pot, you're in the NFL now, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But you still, you know, you still got to sort of clean up your act and do the straight and narrow, as long as it doesn't affect, you know, him showing up on time or his attitude or all that kind of stuff. So a little bit of a reclamation project, but he's definitely got the talent. And then a lot of people like this kid, Parnell Motley, a cornerback. He's got the size, 6 foot, about 180 pounds, you know, the prototypical size that they're looking for there. You know, some people really like him. They call him a top 10 corner in this draft, but I don't know if that's, I mean, you know, like you get excited. I got the 10th best player at that position. Like, is that, if that guy's starting, then, but I did complain a lot about and thought the Bucs should go for depth at cornerback over safety, because we're a spring ankle away from, you know, Ryan Smith. And people, what about MJ Stewart? I don't think MJ Stewart makes a team.
Yeah.
You know, he's just not fast enough. He's not fast enough to play corner, and he's not sort of athletic enough to play the slot.
Yeah.
And he's not an outstanding special teamer. So
he would be the definition of a miss. Unfortunately,
getting there, you know, you'd like to see it turned around, because he did show promise early in training camp. He really did. And then he just sort of kind of fell down the depth a little bit, because he was starting nickel day one at training camp in pads. And then, you know, he started to fall down the depth during training camp. And then you saw him in the preseason games, and it was, you know, same guy all over again. Okay.
So one question for you, since you've kind of looked at some of these undrafted guys. We always love here in Tampa Bay to talk about our undrafted guys since Jason Light's been here, the Adam Humphreys, the Cam Brates, Dakota Dixon from last year, and I forget some of the other guys. But who there always seems like there is that undrafted guy who winds up making the team kind of in a surprise way, various things. You know, who is that guy who's going to who do you think is going to be the surprise, you know, come training camp, that's going to turn some heads, maybe knock somebody out that, you know?
Well, they got some interior offensive linemen, you know, they might work out, you know, the kid from Boise tests really well, but apparently his arms are like too short, as in like no one's ever played in the NFL with arms as short as yours at your position.
Okay.
But he tests really well. So we'll see about that. There was a couple of D linemen, you know, that because of depth issues, like, you know, with I already said, well, Davis is going to make the team because he has to, because there's no one else there.
Right.
So one of those guys to surprise and move up. And of course, I think sort of like the biggest one is going to be, you're going to be the kid from Oklahoma, Parnell Motley. I think he's going to be the guy to sort of keep the eye on, at least for fans hoping to build depth in the cornerback room. That they, you know, I don't think anyone's looking forward to benching Dean or SMB or Davis, but to supplant MJ Stewart and at least get ahead of Ryan Smith, at least in the depth chart, keep Ryan Smith because of his special teams play. You know, I think those would be the guys to look at.
All right. I like it. I like it. Well, Ren, buddy, we have been out here for an hour and 43 minutes, according to my clock. And I got to tell you, like, I kind of hate to wrap up the show, because we have, I mean, the people that have joined us, like, it's been about this number almost the entire show as it's climbed. Like, you know, sometimes you see the numbers go up and down. So to everybody who has joined us tonight, guys, thank you all so much. for sticking with us, for talking draft, to everybody who called in, to Prime who videoed in. You guys are awesome. That's a part of what we do here at the PewterCast, is getting to interact with you guys. You know, we are a fan podcast. We like to be able to talk Bucks, talk fandom, and all that kind of stuff. Ren, we haven't talked about it yet. I'm not entirely sure what's on deck next for us. We're just sort of in this weird off season. I think typically we'd look at OTAs or something like that, but who OTAs knows what the hell is coming up.
Like not next to OTAs, but the Bucks would have had like a short 3-day mini camp sort of thing before the draft.
Yeah.
And then the rookie camp would be like now.
Right.
Like starting Tuesday.
We're missing all that. Although I will say, we have a really cool guest coming up. I don't want to spill the beans on who it is just yet. But we do have a cool guest coming up that I can't wait to get that out. But we'll be out here. We'll be back. That's all I'm saying. The coverage never stops, you know, around here. It is the off season. You know, and certainly as we ramp into what the season's gonna be, who knows what's gonna happen as we get closer to that. But Ren, final thoughts on the draft, and then why don't you send us out of here, letting the folks know where they can find you out there on the internet.
Besides like stabbing me in the back, and you know, turning me a social pariah and a clown. Besides that minute point, I think it was a really good draft. I like the safety position. I just really hope it works out. And don't worry, everybody, if he does it, there's going to be no "I told you so." And if, you know, the running back Vaughn doesn't work out, there's not going to be "I told you so, you should have taken Dobbins or Akers when you could have." There's going to be none of that stuff. I hope all these guys succeed. Full steam ahead. You know, I think Craig and Vase said it best. Like, there is definitely sort of this feel of go all in. And something I've always said was like, you should be all in every year. The problem is the Bucks didn't really have the talent to do it. And now they do. So, you know, paying like a $1 million or $1.5 million more than you should for a free agent in the future, it's worth it. Or trading two draft picks to go get your guy in the third in future drafts, it's worth it because your roster's there now.
Right.
Like the window has officially started.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see how long we can keep this going.
Kind of sheds a little bit of light. I don't know if he actually thought this through when he first got here, but you remember the thing that he said that he told the Glazers? He's like, look, if I win the Super Bowl in year two, I'm out.
Yeah.
He didn't say year one. He said year two.
Yeah.
I'm out. So it makes me wonder just a little bit if there was a thought in his head with that. But no, I mean, you're right. And this is the situation, Ren, that I said I would be okay with picking up a Tom Brady type person, because with the whole quarterback thing, I said I wanted longevity. I wanted somebody. I don't want a 1 or 2 year rental. I want somebody who's going to be here long term, unless they really feel like Mike Evans and this defensive line and Ali Marpet and all these guys, like, they're primed and ready to win now, then go get that missing quarterback or that missing piece. Let's go win a Lombardi and then we'll figure it out on the backside. I think that's where they are. And that's exactly what we're seeing with the Tom Brady pickup, the Gronk. You know, this draft, I think, certainly proves it. Was it Craig who said, you know, this is win now? Yeah, I think you were just referencing that too. It's win now for these guys. So, I'm all for it. I'm excited. You know, I'm excited for the season. And as they say in the chat room, fire them cannons.
Yeah.
Take us out, Ren.
Best place to find me is on Twitter at Rendax, REN_DAXT. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football. But if you don't want to put your thoughts on blast out there on Twitter, I don't know what that was at all.
So embarrassed by you.
You're so what?
I'm so embarrassed by you.
Oh, I know.
You know, it's like a kid being dropped off at school.
How's it feel? So feel free to slide in my DMs and we'll talk Buccaneers football there too. But I would like to say, before I throw it to you, Brent, you finish it off, I thought all the calls were great tonight.
Yeah,
this might I thought this was a really good show as far as calls. The Johns and Chris and Prime.
Three
Johns
and everybody. In a row,
Yeah, I thought, you know, it was really good questions and it was a lot of fun. So thanks everyone for joining us. Till next time. Go Bucks.
I will echo you on that. And I can't wait. If this is the quality of calls that we're going to get just in the off season,
I can't wait
for the post game.
All this
shows.
Has to be cut out. I already closed the show.
No, false. I'm Brent Allen. You guys want to catch me at Brent Allen Live across all the social medias. And Ren doesn't know that I just muted him. I'm Brent Allen Live across all the social medias. The show is at The PewterCast on Twitter and on Facebook. Find us at youtube.com/The PewterCast. You subscribe, click the bell icon to be notified when we go live, as we are so often doing these days. And emails, shoot us emails to theputercast@gmail.com. We will get to those on a future episode of the show. Guys, that's going to do it for us. So until next time, go Bucks.
Did you unmute me?
Yeah, I did.
Oh.